Brown University changes its discriminatory teacher training admissions policy. Why Harvard's canceling of Roland Fryer matters. And the battle over gender therapy. Welcome to Fair News Weekly. To read all of the articles discussed in this podcast, please visit this podcast's episode description. FAIR is proud to report that Brown University will no longer be restricting admissions to its mindfulness-based stress reduction teacher training programs based on skin color or other immutable characteristics. The change comes after FAIR sent a letter to Brown University President Christina Hull Paxson in response to a FAIR Transparency incident report detailing the university's plans to offer these segregated programs. The letter was covered in a recent New York Post story, which quotes Dr. Eric B. Lukes, director of Brown University's Mindfulness Center, after saying, "Upon further review of our early promotional material for the program, we realigned them to reflect the program's inclusive nature, while still meeting the goal of addressing the needs, life experiences, and priorities of marginalized communities." FAIR is dedicated to advancing civil rights and liberties for all Americans and promoting a common culture based on fairness, understanding, and humanity. If you'd like to report an incident at your school or organization, reach out to us at fairtransparency.org. Our legal team is ready to support you and follow up on all submissions. On June 14th, FAIR's legal team sent a letter to the Los Angeles Unified School District in response to a recent FAIR Transparency report regarding politically partisan emails. According to the report, the district sends emails to all parents with LAUSD enrolled kids for the Career Technical Education Program. Clicking the link in the email leads the parents to a magic link to fill in their email address and subsequently emails them a link to canvassing and door-knocking opportunities for LA Democratic candidates. In investigating further, the letter states, FAIR was able to confirm that the magic link does indeed direct the user to Democratic candidates and other causes in their current local area. The letter notes that promoting specific political ideology via a public school system's communication system may be a violation of the California Education Code and urges the LAUSD to consider the impact of political speech on students. That public education should be free from political influence is a well-settled principle, the importance of which is difficult to overstate. In the spirit of offering apolitical education and opportunities to public school students, this email campaign seems like a misinformed effort at best. We urge LAUSD to carefully consider the impact on students of this one-sided campaign. For our Substack, Robert Evans writes about MacArthur Fellow, recipient of the John Bates Clark Medal, and founder of Harvard's Education Innovation Laboratory, Roland Fryer, who has dedicated his career to understanding the persistent performance gap in low-income K-12 schooling, with a specific emphasis on Black students. Evans also discusses the reasons Harvard's cancellation of The Young Economist over a Title IX complaint should matter to us all. Evans says, "Fryer's work is a perfect embodiment of what academic research should be, identifying issues of great importance to society, developing a hypothesis and testing it through rigorous empirical analysis, following the data wherever it leads, no matter how unpleasant or unpopular, and pugnaciously defending the results. He would seem like the quintessential Harvard man, in a different time, perhaps." Reed Newton writes for our Substack about her experiences growing up in Georgia, where grabbing a Chick-fil-A sandwich or lunch, or a chicken biscuit for breakfast, was at least a twice-weekly occurrence. Newton also discusses her views of the Cathy family, who founded Chick-fil-A, are outspoken Christian conservatives, and how there were calls across social media for LGBT people and their allies to immediately boycott the restaurant chain. As a lesbian, Newton states, "Treat me with dignity and respect, and I will do the same for you. Do I agree with the efforts to delegitimize gay marriage in this country? Absolutely not. Do I have enough faith in our legal system to ensure that the will of the majority of this country, which is increasingly pro-gay marriage, is upheld by the law? Yes, I do. In my 26 years of life, I have learned that the best way to change someone's mind is to get to know them, to let them get to know me, and maybe even swap stories over a chicken sandwich." For Fox News, FAIR advisor Eli Steele writes about his experience interviewing Jody Shaw, former Smith College staffer who rebelled against the college's mandatory racial indoctrination program, a program designed to reduce her humanity to whiteness. Steele details Shaw's upbringing, experiences at Smith College, and the ways they intersect with the larger culture. Steele writes, "For far too long, I've encountered one individual after another whose speech was governed by the fear of saying the unsayable in our hypersensitive America. There was none of that in Jody's voice. Instead, I heard freedom." The proud Smith College alum says that she pleases and lets her thoughts wander far in hopes of discovering deeper understandings. Yet Jody will quickly admit for a period of time she betrayed this freedom. For The Telegraph, FAIR advisor Inaya Folarin Iman wrote about Catherine Birbal Singh, the pioneering head of Makela Community School and the government's new social mobility czar, who has sparked a mild stir, this time for suggesting that getting children from poorer backgrounds into Oxbridge or the elite professions should not be the only measure of social mobility. Iman states, "Birbal Singh believes that we should do more to celebrate smaller steps towards upward social mobility. For a young person to secure a reasonably paid job in their local area, for instance, rather than becoming a barrister on a six-figure salary in London. For many people," she argues, "particularly in deprived areas, this will still be a significant achievement. It would be wrong to assume that these are the only routes to meaning and fulfillment. For those with bigger hurdles to overcome, becoming a hairdresser or restaurant manager will rightly be a source of great pride. And there is nothing patronizing about this. But there is also a danger of feeding the harmful idea that elite universities are simply not for certain people, which is the exact opposite of what Birbal Singh is trying to do. Talent is spread throughout the country, even if opportunities are not. And far too many children from deprived homes settle for less than what they are capable of, wrongly perceiving the top universities and professions to be out of their reach. We cannot let politicians off the hook when it comes to properly investing in and maintaining the highest standards in education." The Horace Mann School appears on the surface to be a remarkably homogeneous community, politically, writes Ryan Finlay for Horace Mann's weekly newspaper, The Record. "One could easily conclude that there are a few non-progressive students at HM, but this is an illusion. The community contains silent multitudes." Finlay continues, "HM, like so many other academic institutions today, fosters a learning environment that I believe is hostile to those who do not subscribe to progressive politics. This includes not just conservatives, but also centrists and moderates on the left. As a result, our school has developed a political bubble in which the majority of views expressed in classrooms are far to the left of the mainstream views of both the American public and the actual political average of the student community. A fantasy is built for progressive members of the student body, making them believe that their most radical opinions are far closer to the mainstream than is actually the case." For his Substack, Stoic Observations, Free Black Thought co-founder Michael D.C. Bowen wrote about a kind of journey through blackness which is at one personal and individualistic yet readily understandable and familiar to Americans. Bowen explores the ways various black Americans determine when they own blackness, but blackness doesn't own them, by answering questions posed to him at the recent New Alliances retreat he attended in New York City regarding the ways people of African descent are considered a monolith, particularly by African Americans themselves. Bowen states, "I will be so bold as to say that here is a surefire way to disaggregate the monolith. It is something to do with the ways in which black Americans dither on class division. It pertains to why we bother to identify solidarity with the black homicide victim of police misconduct, but not the white victim. It pertains to why we bother to name something black in our special duties to our people. That sense of possession of people is so telling. Not the people, but my people. Not all lives, but black lives. Not crime, black crime. Not the acquisition of power, black empowerment. At some point of wisdom and moral maturity, the self-serving nature of these brotherhoods and allyships becomes irreversibly transparent." For the New York Times Magazine, Emily Bazelon wrote about the current climate regarding transgender healthcare and the tensions surrounding the drafting of a new version of guidelines called the Standards of Care, to be issued by the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. As they worked on a draft of the adolescent chapter of the Standards of Care, Bazelon writes, "The big debate among clinicians was how they should respond to the thousands of teenagers who are arriving at their doors. Some are asking about medication that suppresses puberty or about hormone replacement treatments. Leibowitz and his co-authors thought that the timing of the rise of trans-identified teenagers, as well as research from Britain and Australia, suggested that the increased visibility of trans people in entertainment and the media had played a major and positive role in reducing stigma and helping many kids express themselves in ways they would have previously kept buried. At the same time, the author acknowledged that they weren't sure that visibility was the only factor at play. One of the clearest and most consistent findings about LGBT young people is that support from their families is essential for protecting them from a host of poor outcomes, from depression and suicide attempts to homelessness. But Leibowitz thinks gaining the trust of families necessitates acknowledging complexity. It's irresponsible to reinforce very scary statistics to families in an attempt to gain consent for treatment, Leibowitz says. This strategy doesn't build the type of love and acceptance that a child needs, which is truly at the heart of preventing suicidal behavior. It's convenient to say there's not enough evidence if you don't believe in the treatment, and that there's enough evidence if you do believe, Leibowitz said. Evidence matters, yes, but common sense matters too. For Persuasion, Matt Major and Jacob L. Mackey wrote that, while they recognize that there really is a problem on college campuses, their experience opening a student chapter of Persuasion at Occidental College in Los Angeles gives them reason to be hopeful about Gen Z. They said, none of the participating students hesitated to answer the proposed question honestly. No one got canceled, and no one demeaned anyone else as a bad person for the views they expressed, however contentious. Instead, students appeared to learn from those whose views differed from their own, and they evinced not merely mutual respect, but mutual affection. Unsurprisingly, it turns out that open and well-argued disagreement over pressing issues engenders deeper insight and understanding. Moreover, the exercise, when carried out in good faith, seems to strengthen effective bonds of community. The next stop on the Pro-Human Tour is on Wednesday, June 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Kenosha Public Museum in Kenosha, Wisconsin. This Pro-Human Tour stop is an opportunity for Wisconsinites to join the Pro-Human Movement, which recognizes the unique identity and shared humanity of every individual and rejects any attempt at flattening people into stereotypes and reducing individuals into interchangeable members of identity groups. All are invited to attend this event, which will feature a discussion with national and local FAIR leaders, including FAIR advisor, musician, and race relations expert Daryl Davis, and education reform champion Nathan Hoffman. Registration in the description. Live conversation and book signing with FAIR advisor Ian Rowe in Stamford, Connecticut. Join FAIR on Wednesday, June 29th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for an evening with education reformer and FAIR advisor Ian Rowe, in conversation with FAIR advisor and director of messaging, Angel Eduardo, about Rowe's new book, Agency, The Four-Point Plan, F-R-E-E, for all children to overcome the victimhood narrative and discover their pathway to power. This free event will be followed by a book signing. The first 20 registrants will receive a complimentary copy of the book. Additional books will be available for purchase. Join FAIR in the Arts for a virtual community meetup on Tuesday, June 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Moderated by FAIR of the Arts fellow Heather Blakesley, this meetup will be an opportunity to learn more about ongoing initiatives, meet the team and fellows, have your questions answered, and connect with other members. All members of FAIR who are artists, educators, administrators in media, or supporters of the arts and culture are welcome to join. We want FAIR Substack to be the go-to publication for diverse perspectives on culture and civil rights. Whether you're a seasoned author or an amateur writer with a story that can contribute to our mission of promoting fairness, understanding, and humanity, we would love to receive your stories, opinions, investigations, reviews, interviews, and more. Please send your piece to submissions at fairforall.org. We hope to hear from you. Finally, if you liked this podcast, subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us a rating and review. Make sure to check out our newsletter and weekly roundup to read more into any of this week's stories, or visit the episode description. Donations are always welcome at fairforall.org/donate.